You have probably heard about the infamous Mark of the Beast and the ominous number
999.
Where did it come from? Why is it so dangerous, and how do you avoid getting it? In fact,
what is this?
How do you know you don't have it now?
In the book of Revelation,
what is this Mark of the Beast?
What is the strange significance and fascination with the number
9?
That's coming up next.
Taking the mark of the beast.
9 times 9 is 81. Yeah.
The mark of the beast.
Dreamcast. It's thinking.
Forget where it is. This week in your parents' basement, it's a science fiction double feature for Sega's The Dream Timber, as we play Space Channel 5 by United Game Artists and Choo Choo Rocket by Sonic Team. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the guy when it comes to platform heels and Austin Powers-inspired dance moves. It's Huell Hauser.
Choo Choos aren't ordinary mice. We are space mice.
Accurate description. And our other co-host, he's glad we can play yet another problematic game involving Michael Jackson. It's Todd Brisket.
Hey, all you cosmic kitties.
Oh, boy.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes. And when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, if you want to support the show, you can find our Amazon click-through link on the YPB homepage, ypbpodcast.com. Homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. Buy your own Sega's The Dreamcast right there. It's available for about $68 as I typed this earlier today. This week's game is... First game is Space Channel 5. Released in 2000, Space Channel 5 is basically a weird version of Pa Rappa the Rapper. It's a rhythm game that's kind of similar. Pa Rappa. Pa Rappers. Delight. It's a rhythm game that's kind of similar to Simon. You have to hit a series of buttons in a sequence, mimicking what you see on the screen and hear. The plot of this game is bonkers. It's set 500 years in the future. From the release of the Dreamcast. So, $24.99, if you're keeping track at home. And you play the role of Ulala, a correspondent for Space Channel 5. Aliens are attempting to enslave people by dancing, and you have to save them by counter-dancing and using your ray gun. I had not even ever played this one before. What say you, Todd Brisket?
Ooh. Well, I just wanted to toss this up on the top of the sode. Why... We are doing two games for this week instead of a single game. One of these games we could push through and, you know, cover by itself. But I wanted to cover I pushed the fellow SBBs to cover two games this week because these
we were bullied into this. Yeah.
These are two games that people love. People absolutely love these games. And there's no way we would ever cover Choo Choo Rocket by itself, ever.
Right.
Space Channel 5 we might have hit at some point, I feel like.
I think there's enough there, yeah.
Yeah. Choo Choo Rocket is a launch title, and it's very limited scope to talk about. That's why I kind of wanted to push it in along with Space Channel 5, which is kind of also a Dreamcast-era classic game. So I just want to get that out of the way up top before we dig into Ooh La La. Space Channel 5. This is, like you said, a rhythm game. It is different from every other rhythm game that people are familiar with. It's not like your Guitar Heroes. It's not like your Busta Moves or Grooves. It's not like your Beat Mania. This is a game. It's basically Simon on a Dreamcast.
Yeah,
but wasn't Parappa basically Simon also?
You're correct. This does follow the Parappa formula closely.
The Parappa form, yes.
Where the instructor, or in this case, the evil alien, will tell you which moves to perform, and you follow. You repeat that pattern immediately within the next bar.
Yeah.
in music terms. Mm-hmm. So you the aliens will say up, down, left, right, and shoot, and what
That's
is the
it.
Other one?
That's
Zoom?
It.
I don't know. Something.
Is there another
two
one?
Shoots. There's two shoots. There's shoot and
well,
and
there's
good shoot. Good shoot.
Well, there's
and
bad two different
shoot.
Modes. There's two different modes.
Yeah.
You're either dancing directly, or you're following the patterns of when the aliens pop out to shoot them. But also, mm-hmm. people can pop out and you can rescue them. So in the shooting mm-hmm. mode, there's a shooting to shoot the aliens and there's shooting to rescue the people. So you have two different shoots. So that could mess
right.
you up. But when you're dancing, it's only up, down, left, right, shoot.
Yep. Everything follows the straight 4-4 pattern.
Thing. Right.
Mm-hmm. Up, down, left, right, shoot, shoot, shoot. So, yeah, I mean, you just repeat exactly what the alien is doing, and you will blast the aliens and save the people. And, mm-hmm. I mean, one thing I personally like about this game is the music, which we had in our snifferoo last week, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, Ooh La La's theme is based on Mexican Flyer by, I already forgot who, we looked it up last week and I already forgot who it was.
You told us, but that was a week ago.
Yeah.
Something
it
in his
It wasn't Herb
press.
Alpert.
Not
Herb
Alpert.
Marv Alpert.
Not Herb Alpert. Ken Woodman and his Piccadilly Brass.
Oh, yeah.
From 1966. Mexican Flyer. Mm-hmm. That is Ooh La La's theme song, which is a catchy little jingle, and you hear it a lot
it's
in this
fantastic.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah.
This game has a lot of style in it, a lot of pizzazz.
Yeah. It's that 1950s sci-fi style.
Yeah, future retro.
I found delightful.
It was delightful.
I really like this game.
Yeah. The aliens themselves, the bad guys, are cute little dancing aliens. I mean,
for having never played it and only like heard of the title, like mm-hmm. I love this game. Like it was super fun. It was immersive. It had a great like world and style, like you say. The music was fantastic. Like so the gameplay is simplistic. Who cares? Like you're having fun.
Yeah, this is. I think there is a way. I've never looked this up. I've only heard about it in the underground. Is that you can put in some kind of code where it'll just play through the entire game by itself. You just do that and it'll play through.
The game like it plays itself.
No, my favorite thing to explain is these games. If you're having a party, a gathering, your abode, a little get together, little mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe it's a bunco night at your house or whatever you're doing,
huh?
And then you need a little background music or something on the TV. Hey, instead of putting on the latest mumble rap top hit on YouTube, why don't you put on Space Channel 5 in demo mode? That'd be something to put on.
Yeah, I guess. I'm with you guys partially in that I really enjoyed the music, all the style, the presentation of this game. But I have a question for you guys. You guys played like instruments growing up, didn't you? I know you did. I was awful at this game. Like I was really bad.
Are you rhythmically challenged?
Absolutely.
I can see why you didn't like this.
Well, it was like Parappa. I consider a better game, just because that like helps you out a little bit because you can see the symbols on the screen.
It does. It does scroll the symbols along the bottom of the screen, as I recall.
Mm-hmm. And I could just not get the pacing down for this one. Like I gave the first stage like three different tries and I failed on all three of them.
This is a game where you have to really feel the music and get into it. You have to tap your toe mm-hmm. along with it to beat it.
It's not going to guide you along and hold your hand like a Parappa.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to pay attention. Sorry, Steve.
Well, I feel like I was paying attention. But it didn't matter because I was still bad at it. So, that was kind of the problem.
Like Todd said, like there's no cue to start. Maybe that's the problem. Is you have to count out the beats. Like you have to know when the next phrase or bar is coming, and that's probably why you didn't know when to do anything.
Well, at times, like I would be fine when it came to starting, but I just couldn't get like the kind of tapping rhythm down. Mm-hmm. I got no rhythm inside me, apparently. But I'm with you guys that this is a stellar game from a presentation standpoint. Like just the big band music works perfect.
The like bright colors, yeah.
Yeah, I had only ever like heard about this game. I had never actually seen it in action. And last week, like when you played the teaser of the music, I was like, oh wait, that's the music for this game? Because in my head, I had always heard it as like some like weird synth new wave music. Like that's the soundtrack I thought this game would have. I didn't realize.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It was Big Man. So, no, that was nice. And the like, even the animation in this game, like, you know, she's got some unique moves to her.
I agree. You know, playing this game again this week for this episode, it made me remember how fun I think it would be to learn these dance moves that they're doing in this game. It just looks fun. They look like they're having fun.
I just love that walk they do between stages.
Yeah. Especially when you get like you're doing really well and you get a troop of dancers behind you and they're walking along with you.
Once you rescue more people, they follow you out. And like as you rescue more and more people, they're dancing alongside you. They're doing the same walk, the same moves, and it's like a music video.
It's kind of like a weird elongated strut or something like that.
Yeah, it's a strut.
Explain it. Yeah.
It's definitely a strut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say in today's times, I did feel her outfit made me feel a little uncomfortable.
Did you get a little hot and bothered there, Steve?
Yeah.
No, I mean, but
I mean, she needs to be respected for her journalistic integrity.
She is a
confident, hot pants,
confident professional who is just making her way through the journalism world. Like Steve, that's not what you wear when you go and cover volleyball games.
Not always,
huh?
And it's also weird because like the very first image of her is. Like as the game starts, is her strutting on the camera and then doing a split where the camera goes up, and it's like, oh, this is really weird.
That is what happens.
Yeah, I feel like they've, you know, I can't speak for the women out there. I don't want to. Hey, don't let me talk for you. And write us in to the show and tell us how we're wrong, please. But I feel like subsequent iterations of this game, they've corrected that, and where they give her some more modest clothes to wear, and she's not as hyper sexualized as in this game.
Well, I think the defense of it would be is that, you know, most of this game is like highly camp, like it's right. all over the top, and yeah, she's an attractive looking news reporter, but it's not. She isn't like sexualized, really. Like it's, you know, it's not like they're having her do weird stuff.
I mean, just splits in front of the camera.
There's no twerking in this game.
Yes, correct.
There's no twerk button.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
as the kids would say. Well, in the year 2000,
if you're interested in seeing polygonal action panties, what are those called? Like cheerleaders wear. What are those called? I call them action panties, but I'm sure that's wrong.
I'm pretty sure it's action panties. Yeah, that's definitely it. No doubt.
Yeah, just ask Smo or Beanie next time they're on the show.
Spanx? Sure, are they Spanx?
They would love to answer.
I feel like
that.
Spanx are also not right.
No, Spanx is what right. You...
They're like thick...
Wear under
they're like
dress.
Woolen, thick woolen cotton... non-conforming
pantaloons
undergarments.
Are we talking about like the Mormon underwear? You're getting off track here, I think.
Well,
anyway,
if any women listen to the show, just write in.
Thick cotton non-gendered underwear.
I know what you, Todd. You mean like
long johns?
Like when a cheerleader is like at an outdoor football game, like in
correct the you know where the cheerleaders wear in God's country.
Yeah, I think those are just like tight.
They're not action like, panties.
No, I don't think. I feel like I would have noticed the like a sign at like Target that said action panties. No, that was
the action panties section.
Yeah. Well, I'm usually not in that section, Steve, so I don't know what you're doing over there.
Oh, well,
Heel is walking by the aisle very fast, covering his eyes.
I put my head down. I walk briskly to the grocery section of Target.
Listen, when you're when you're a man who's engaged to be married or even married, you...
I'm just passing through because I need some socks.
Yeah.
I took the wrong. I went left instead of right. I must just now walk all the way around.
Huel, I absolutely do that same thing. Whenever I feel like at Walmart,
you're flipping
Target,
a coin, you know. Yeah.
At Walmart and Target, for whatever reason, like the first section in there is the bra section, and it's like, why? Mm-hmm. Why is this right at the very front of the store? Like, I feel like, is anyone making an impulse purchase of a bra? I guess they must be if they put them right at the front. But, well, this has been a great conversation for women. Let's move right
along.
We
are the experts.
Yeah. Where is it now? Space Channel 5 was followed by a Japan-only sequel, but that eventually found its way over to the U.S. in 2011. Interestingly, a PlayStation VR game with Ulala was announced in 2018, but it is still in development. I did check. There was an interview. Kotaku did a small news item about it. About it this week, so it is still alive, because I feel like the PlayStation VR is already dying, and just VR.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I don't know if it's dying as much as never got started.
Yeah, I feel like
I think it's just there.
Is that PlayStation's Oculus Rift?
It's PlayStation's the virtual reality.
Wow.
Yes. PlayStation's virtual reality.
Mm. So, also, I wanted to follow up. Where is it now? Space Channel 5, the part 2, has been ported to every system imaginable.
They didn't call it Space Channel 6. That seems like a missed opportunity.
You know. Hey.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe she got a
new job.
She's still
on the same channel.
Yeah. You know. Maybe she. You know. She got a promotion because of all her
frequency.
Excellent coverage of the more Rolian invasion.
Mm-hmm. You see a lot more of people knowing about Space Channel 5 Part 2, and not as much as Space Channel 5 Part 1, because Part 1 has not had any kind of HD remaster or port, modern day port, because of all these pre-rendered CG backgrounds in this game. This game, the only 3D characters are the people themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so to
port this to a modern system, they would have to recompile or re-render all of the backgrounds for modern day 4D, HK, all those systems, whatever they have now.
The PSVR, if you will.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if you guys noticed that. Like, all the backgrounds are pre-rendered. You're not those backgrounds are not 3D. They are pre-rendered CG graphics videos.
They're Windows 98 screensaver level backgrounds.
Yeah,
which makes
it
sense
because
it was on the Dreamcast in 1999 or whatever.
Yeah, my Dreamcast still has a sticker where it proudly advertised that it's running on Windows CE.
Ooh. So. The very popular Windows CE.
Listen, it was
compact edition.
Big,
isn't that what it is?
Big thing. I have no clue. I just remember at the time it was a big deal that Sega was using that instead of something more proprietary. I guess. If the system went on, like it could have, you know, you could have actually had like applications on there and stuff like that, kind of similar to, you know, kind of. I feel like that started with the PS3 era, but even the PS2, you could do like few things with it. So, well, we should move along here, guys. Todd, did you find anyone who loved this game?
You know what? Let me take a look in my list here. I do have.
Make sure you scroll down too.
Let me scroll down all the way this time. Yeah. I do have one reason why Space Channel 5 on the Dreamcast is the most best game of all time. And this one is titled Hot Music with Rhythm Puzzles.
Mm.
And it's by Susanna. And she wrote this in November of the year 2000. And Susanna wrote, I am a female doctoral student in aerospace engineering. This game rocks because it requires only simple use of the controls. Plus, at the end of a long workday, the plot is not too taxing. The first level requires you to dance on the beat. As you move up, you are challenged to repeat long syncopated rhythms. If you have a music background, you'll recognize it. Otherwise, you'll play intuitively. The graphics are smooth, and my boyfriend was pretty stunned at the sex pot. Ooh la la, who has some excellent moves to learn for the nightclubs. She is better drawn than Jessica Wabbit, and I had no idea that they made sexy video games without violence for girls. I hope the trend continues. The soundtrack is fabulous, and the dress code is delish. 5 stars.
Wow.
Wow.
Big fan.
Yeah.
All right, Susanna, a doctoral student in the year 2000 in aerospace engineering.
Yeah, she's probably Dr. Susanna by now. Good for her. There were no one-star Yelp reviews this week. So instead, I would just like to note that Sega was sued over this game by the lead singer of D-Light, the Groove is in the Heart band.
Oh, really?
And, yes, wow. Because they claim to have no knowledge of that song when creating her, but Ooh La La basically just looks like a digitized version of the lady. And also, apparently
the lady has like a full bodysuit, and Ooh La La's in like a skirt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Completely different.
I mean, she has darker
the
red hair.
The hair is different.
Has pink hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
and also,
no.
But
if I were the judge in this case, I'd throw this right out the door and say, hey,
I'd slam that.
Get the D hell out of here, man.
Slam that judge hammer down and kick him out.
Well, to
the judge knocker. Bam, bam, bam. Get out of here.
Well, so here's the thing. Sega, at first, before the game came out, they apparently went to her and tried to offer her $16,000 to sign off on, like, oh, let us use your likeness and that kind of thing. And she told them no. And then they just released
it. And then tried to sue them?
and then after the fact, you know, after the game had been out a couple years, she sued them. She went to court. And she lost and was ordered to pay Sega's legal fees, which were $600,000.
I feel like she had her chance and blew it.
To me, it does feel like they lifted, like there's a lot of similarities. Like maybe. Just,
look, it's shared source. Like they're both ripping off the 50s and 60s. Because D-Light made a music video that ripped off the 60s doesn't mean everything else that rips off the 60s ripped off D-Light.
Yeah, and I also feel
case
like there's...
closed.
Yeah, and I feel like, I don't know, it's kind of like that B-52's aesthetic too. Like it's kind of...
Yeah, that's what they did.
It's retro. Retro-futuristic.
Yeah, so I can understand why that woman thought she had a case, but I can also understand that the trial judge basically said that... you know, there's enough difference anyway that, yeah, they look similar, but, you know, it's set 500 years in the future and she's a reporter
right.
on a space station. So really it's, you know, it's completely different.
What's been a low point in that judge's career? having to read up on Space Channel 5.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm sure he loved it.
And D-Light, which was, they had a hit. At that point, it was 13 years ago, some pop electro hit or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Huel, did you get a chance to look at a manual for this one?
I did spread that manual open and take a look. It has a little blurb about the story. The deep story that we never got into is that these aliens just decide to come down and blast everyone with this beam that makes people dance. And Ooh La La somehow survived because she was up in space on her Space Channel 5 station thing. Comes down and just saves everybody, so it's fun. It's got profiles of the characters. It's got, like, rendering models of the, oh, sorry, these aliens are called Marolians for some reason. Mm-hmm. So it's got like renderings of the characters and the Marolians and her rival reporter named Pudding,
mm-hmm.
who is also trying to report on the same thing. So Ulala does not like that.
Yeah, one tidbit real quick.
Oh,
that's a Channel 42 reporter who is
yes.
the same kind of, she's a blue colored lady. And when you beat her in the dance off, you get her guitar player who joins you and starts wailing on the guitar doing solos during the
yeah, you start getting her band members as you beat her. Mm-hmm. Goes through the controls, just the different dancing and shooting controls, and just a few other things. But what I liked about this is it's short and sweet, and it has a lot of the same character that the game does. Some good drawings. It doesn't get too overly complicated. So I'm giving this 4 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Wow.
Wow.
This is one of the better Dreamcast manuals that we have seen.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it.
Wow. I mean, yeah. That's good.
There it is.
Wow. So I have a ranking system. It's called the Herzog ranking system of rankings. This one, I'm coming in with a Herzog 7. Herzog 7.
Oh! Wow, that is higher than I thought.
Much higher than I thought, considering you did not like
you were railing on this game before we potted up the mics tonight.
The thing is, you know, I can understand that this is not my cup of tea, but it's still a solidly made game. It's still fun. I like that even though I was awful at it, it does let you continue from various stages, I believe.
Yes, so and one of the things about that I enjoy is that if you are doing bad, the music gets worse sounding, where like the horns are playing off key and delayed,
right.
And the music sounds like it's being played a lot worse.
Oh, I noticed. I noticed.
Oh, yeah. Nice feature you picked up on, huh?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this, you know, the thing is, it's not an especially deep game. Like, it has one mode of play, and it's essentially Digital Simon.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's stylish, it's fun, and, you know, there are a lot worse games out of there. Todd, did you get a chance to rate this one?
I did. I'm going to give it a rating on the DuckTales scale, which has two primary factors. Primary factor number one is nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I personally have for this game? Primary factor number two, replayability. Would I pop this little joint on in these times that we live in? Nostalgia? I have pretty good nostalgia for this game. I did play it when it came out. I played it. I put it a few rotations on my own Dreamcast. And I, like I said, I enjoyed the music. Over the years, I've always just popped that tune on again randomly on the old Spotify, like pop it into the queue. Ulala's theme. So, you know, pretty good nostalgia for, you know, it being a game from the year 2000, which is just barely made the cut.
Oof, we got lucky, kids.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good nostalgia. Replayability. You know, it's not as replayable as other games in that it is just a game of Simon and that can only be so entertaining over time. But this is one of those games where you could plug it in every 5 years and enjoy a round of Ooh La La again. You just won't plug it in every 2 years or 1 year, maybe every 5 years. So, you know, fairly replayable. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy watching Ooh La La stomp around with her dance troupe.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I'll give Space Channel 5 on the Dreamcast a point. Ooh, point. Ooh. Let me see here.
Point.
Carry
ooh,
the
la,
two.
La.
And it is getting a point 0.69.
Oh! I went 0.71.
Oof.
Ooh. Man.
I am so close. Right
zeroing.
On.
Zeroing.
Only thing pulling it down is that replayability where it's...
Yeah.
It's not one you'll just want to keep playing over and over.
Well, once you started...
At some point.
Once you were talking about it, I thought it went too high on the replayability, but man, it's just just there.
So close. Well, was there anything else you guys wanted to say about the old Space Channels 5s?
Not exactly. I think we need to hit our second game here.
Well, real quick, before we just one quick little anecdotal from my own life. My kids are familiar with Ooh La La from a game we play together called Sonic Racing All-Stars, where she has her own race car, and she is a racer in that game. So that's how the next generation, the millennials, or the, what are they called now? The illennials. I don't know what they're called.
Freakazoids.
Yeah.
You have two of them.
I have two of them. They know Ooh La La from the kart racer Sonic Racers All-Stars.
Yeah. Yeah, she's one of those Sega mascot characters at this point. Like, I did mention that this game was developed by United Game Artists, but that is just one of Sega's in-house development teams. I don't know. Apparently, during the Dreamcast era, they just renamed all of their, like, they gave all of their internal development teams names like that and had them working on different games, like, as if they were independent studios. And then after 3 years, they just floated them all back into Sega. Anyway. Oh, cool. Is there anything else you wanted to say about Space Channel 5?
Nope. It's fun.
All right, then.
We need to save our galaxy, Ooh La La. Are you ready?
Uh-oh. Yeah, boy.
This week.
Hello, your parents' basement. It's me, no. Michael Jackson. I'm still alive.
We did not mention him. He does have a cameo role in the first and second game. So,
perfect.
Yes. Yes.
We're almost complete with our MJ saga coverage.
It's very close.
The MJ video game saga.
I'm sure there's a couple games we're overlooking, and I'm sure someone will write in and tell us about them. All right. This week's second game is Choo Choo Rocket. Released in 1999, Choo Choo Rocket actually started out as a development tool by Sega's Sonic team, meant to test things like online network strain and speed. However, they turned it into a full game because it was pretty fun. In Choo Choo Rocket, you are leading mice-like creatures, choo-choos, into rockets to help them escape from their planet, which is being invaded by the cat-like Kapu Kapus. You guide them around stages by placing arrows. This game is noticeable for offering four players local and online sessions. There's also a level editor, and you could upload levels for friends to download and play. So, Huel, what did you think of the Choo Choos and the Kapu Kapus?
This is a game that instantly cranked up my anxiety as I played it. Yeah. It is extremely fast-paced. The Choo Choos are flying all over the place, and so the mechanic is they come out of the hole like in a stream of choo-choos. If they hit a wall, they turn right. That's it. And you have to put the arrows down to turn them into where your rocket is while they're not going into the opponent's rocket, and also while you're not guiding the cat things into your rocket because they'll eat a third of your choo-choos.
Mm-hmm. You gotta get the cats away from your rocket.
Cats gone, possibly into your opponent's rocket. And zoom those choo-choos into your rocket. I was extremely overwhelmed. It took a few rounds to really get into the groove of it.
There's a lot going on. If you just jump in, eyes closed, or however, whatever the phrase is.
Blind?
Just jump into blind? Eyes blind.
Eyes blind?
Fly open. Well, I don't know what the phrase is.
Yeah, where you jump in blind. You jump in blind.
Yeah, where you're playing a four-player game. Just off the bat, it is crazy. Right. This would be like somebody never seeing Smash Brothers before, just jumping right into a Switch
like max
Smash
like nine level nine
CPU, all items on
exactly. But so like as I was reading it, I'm like, okay, so you guide the choo choos, they hit the walls and they turn, and I was expecting like a Pipe Mania level pace here, where you kind of plan out the path and then they run along it into your rocket. But as soon as it started, they just start flying across the screen. I'm like,
"There's
hundreds
of choo-choos.
What is going on? There's so many choo-choos. I don't even know why they're worried about rescuing them. They obviously have an overpopulation problem.
Yeah.
it should be fine. if they eat a few. Like, so yeah, it was insane. But I liked it. I mean, it was fun once I got the hang of it, and I didn't worry about 9/10 of them dying, because like, you can only rescue.
I'd like to summarize the multiplayer version of this game as a really good Mario Party mini game.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's a fleshed out mini game. I would say, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, and it does have the single player variant, which is more like a puzzle mode where
the challenges
where you have all your choo-choos lined up and you hit the button and they start running and you have to put the arrows down in the path to make them go into your rocket without hitting Kapus.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean that's what all the levels are.
I mean, basically. That is summarizing the game, but this is a puzzle mode where you can kind of plan out, okay, you know, it's paused. Yes. It's paused before you hit the go button. And all the choo-choos are sitting out there and you put your arrows down and then you hit the go button, then they start moving.
Yes, yeah, there's a few of those.
I found puzzle mode delightful. I made it through the 25 easy puzzles. And then I went straight on to the hard ones. But I could only get through like 7 or 8 of those. But no, I enjoyed this game. This was a charming little jaunt of a game.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it retailed for when it first came out. Like, I would have been pleased if I paid like $50 for this.
Yeah, hopefully it was not a lot.
Yeah, but if this was, you know, this game, it kind of reminded me of Bomberman. Like, it's not the same style of play at all, but it just seemed like one of those games that, like, I don't know, if you were like a 10-year-old, you would really enjoy playing this with some buddies.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, or, this is a great like, party game.
Yeah, or it's a game
those
that
10-year-old parties that you're going to.
Well, you know, I would have been in like 3rd or 4th grade. I feel like that's appropriate. But no, this is just a fun one. And I was kind of disappointed. Apparently, I didn't find out until just before we got on the air. Like, they still have online servers for this and for the Dreamcast.
Wow.
Like, you can rig it so that you can still play that bad boy online. I didn't look into it enough to see what it entails. Like, if I could, you know... Like, as far as I know, all I have in the back of my Dreamcast is a telephone line. Like,
yep,
not...
yep.
So I'm not sure how I could actually hook it up to something, because I do not have a landline at my home, because I'm a filthy millennial.
2019.
Yes. But no, this was a charming little game. I do agree with you, Huel, that that first mode... which I think is like meant to be the main mode, like that is overwhelming at first.
I mean, I only played against like one computer opponent, because I'm like, well, 4 might be a bit much to jump into, and even that was insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I turned the other two off and was like, let's see what happens. But I just wasn't expecting how quickly the choo-choos blasted out of those
choo-choos
holes.
Choo-choos, they go fast, like just regular mode. Like, it feels like it's way
are
fast.
Ready to get off that planet.
But, if you could turn on like permanent slow-mo mode, like one other thing about this game is like it would randomly turn on features or is that a good word for it? Features?
The way it happens is there's one type of choo-choo that if it gets into your rocket, it'll like randomize a new effect.
Yes, an effect.
It's hold on, I had it somewhere. I don't know where it went. Going.
Well, one of them is like slow-mo mode where everybody slows down. That's the kind of game I could get into. It's a little bit slower and you can plot out a little bit more.
Okay. So different sorts of choo-choos. There is a question mark choo-choo, a red one, that if it gets into your rocket, the roulette wheel will spin and there will be a new game event. So yes, it is a new event. So one of them is all the rockets move around, so now your rocket's in a new place. Or all the arrows disappear, so you have to put the arrows back down. Or a bunch of cats will appear at once. So yeah, there's like random events that'll happen. And one of them is slowing it down, which is great. So yeah, if there was just an option to maybe just always have that, that might be cool. But there's another option that it gets even faster. So then all your choo-choos are just a blur of choo-choos.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I, I mean, this is the sort of game where I feel like if, you know, if I got good at it,
yeah,
like it would be even better. Like,
yeah, if I got used to playing and I played a little more, I'm sure I'd have a lot more fun. Not that I didn't have fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was just overwhelming.
It's like one of those puzzlers, like the best puzzlers. Like
it is one of those puzzlers.
Your Dr. Mario's, like when you Dr. first who? Try him, Dr. Mario. Dr. Mario, I'm sorry, you.
Oh, okay.
That guy.
Not sure. Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Mario and his friend Dr. Wario. But no, it's a fun little game.
This is a game that had one of the first, you know, just going out of limb here, I'm going to say one of the first DLC concepts. Which is not paid DLC, but you could hook up to the Sega servers via your Dreamcast internet connection and download more puzzle stages.
Yes.
Right. And is it ones that other people create, as was mentioned earlier? Or
creating is local creation, but these are downloading official Sega's the Dreamcast maps.
But you could share the ones you created, I thought, too. Or is it only directly to friends?
I did not look into that aspect of it. I do not know.
Okay.
I think you could upload your maps, but I was kind of ambiguous on how that worked, because obviously there wasn't like a DN, like a Dreamcast network or something.
I mean, I guess you did put it in your intro, so I thought might know.
I only read that, you can upload your maps and download maps. I didn't actually like do a deep dive on how that mechanic worked. So like which pipe the map went through and like which
port do I select?
Yes. Which ports have to be open?
I need to update my TCP/IP settings.
It's the mainframe.
Yes. Need to reset my network adapter to get these choo-choos out. But just touch on where this one is now.
Do you know anything about hackers? Can you jam with the console cowboys in cyberspace? What?
Oh.
So what I found is you just put it on a memory card and they copy it from the memory card. So it wasn't even an online feature.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I thought it was local. And by local, I mean you put it on a memory card, but...
Yeah. So that's how that worked. But there are online features to play with people or against people or whatever.
And download official Sega maps.
Okay, so that happened. Got it.
Yeah, okay. this is Super Mario Maker before it came out. It's the black sheep of that family.
I'm the black sheep of the family.
Black
sheep.
Of all the possible games, Choo Choo Rocket holds the odd distinction of being the first Sega one ported to a Nintendo system. A Game Boy Advance version came out in 2001. It was later ported to phones in 2011, but Sega took down this version in 2015. A new version has been announced for the Apple Arcade, which is actually launching between when we're recording and when this episode drops. So, if you want the old Choo Choo Rockets, just sign up for Apple Arcade, which does have some buzz. Mm. People,
this could be a fun one to play on mobile against other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Fast-paced. I mean, especially if they figure out a way that, you know, you can have a friends list, maybe just with the contacts in your phone or something like that. You can race your buds, see which one of you can save more choo-choos.
I'm a chew, you're a chew, let's race.
Let's rock it.
Yeah. Ride that rocket. All right. Well, Todd, did you find anyone who loved this game?
Yes, I did find two reasons why Choo Choo Rocket on the Dreamcast is the most best game of all time. And the first one is titled "Don't Be Fooled by the Name." And it's written by David T. in March of 2002. And David T. wrote, "Like I just said, The name really throws people off and makes them think this is a baby's game. No baby could handle this. This is a very fun game with incredible Dreamcast graphics. The music makes this more suspenseful and more fun. The gameplay is sweet, and the puzzles can confuse and frustrate you. Play online or with a couple of friends. Of course, you can play by yourself. So if the name is stopping you from buying this game, don't let it. I did, until my brother bought it, and now I always want to borrow it. So don't be fooled by the name, and don't miss out on this incredible game. 5 stars!
Oh. Wow. Very nice.
Yep.
It's not a baby's game.
Not a baby's game at all. All right.
Baby's game.
Next one will lead into Huel's segment because it touches on the literature associated with this game. All right. Later. This is titled Good, But Setup is Confusing. And it's by Randy Given in July of 2002. And Randy wrote, "This is a good game for our 8-year-old son. The only problem was that the initial operations of it. We did not have a manual, so that was a distinct disadvantage. Oh, the game help documentation helped, but it was still confusing. A little more verbiage would have been appreciated. After that, my son got into it and started solving them on his own. It's a good time occupier. 5 stars!
Huh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Distinct disadvantage, huh? Wow.
I know. Or ringing endorsement. It's a good time occupier. All right. Well, I had a 1-star Yelp review of The Rocket in Albany, New York. It's by John. He says, "Don't eat here. Why? Because they cook your burger so well done, the patty is rendered to a hard, dry piece of meat resembling a circular brick. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to eat it or throw it in the air and skeet shoot it like a piece of clay. Let's talk about the bacon on the burger. Most likely the cheapest thing they could find at Walmart or Sam's Club, as it's thin and pathetic like free hotel breakfast bacon. Theme and beer selection is great. Burger selections are great. If the burgers were cooked correctly and better ingredients were used, this place would be a home run." 1 star.
Wow. Yikes. I mean, if you're a burger place, you use some actual cow meat instead of clay pigeons.
What an idiot!
Yeah, and I did misspoken though. This is in Albany, Georgia. Not mistaken.
Not misspake? No.
Huel, did you get a chance to look at the manual for this one?
I found the manual, so I was not at a disadvantage. So unlike the previous game's manual, this one is way too long and way too wordy for such a simple game. Absurd.
Wow. The instruction was lacking.
Do you want to play the how many pages is it game? Top?
Sure. On this game, this nice quaint little puzzler here. This sweet little puzzler with only few controls and in game modes. I'd put it at a nice 10-page.
Uh-huh.
I'm going with that warning. I'm gonna go with.
Yeah, I clearly said there was a lot.
I'm going with my feeling on what it should be.
Oh yeah, I shouldn't have said anything. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm going with 26.
Steve is closer at 32 pages.
Jesus Christ.
So what you got to know is they have to, this being one of the very first games using online features, they have to explain a lot about how to connect, what you're doing, like selecting different like challenge rooms. So most of, probably a third of this is explaining like network connections and all that kind of stuff, which is where they're really getting a bloated manual here. But they get into the deep story-driven part in the beginning with some fun drawings. There are fun drawings of the choo-choos and kapu-kapus, where their spaceport is being invaded by kapu-kapus, trying to get in the rockets. They're too dumb to figure out where to go, and it's up to us to save them. So it runs down some of that. The controls of the arrows, just different, like I said, the different types of choo-choos. But then it gets like super into like selecting stages and like the stuff on the screen and like It's just way too much explanation in here. So I gotta go at a 3.5 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Oof. That's still respectable.
And there's still some delightful drawings, but if they chopped out like a third of this, it would have been a lot higher.
They should have put in the manual, hey, you ain't using this online feature in about 2 years. Let's just cut this whole page out. This page. Section, 20 pages out.
For the most part.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, and that I'm consistent with, I have a ranking system, and it's called the Herzog Hierarchy. And this week, Choo Choo Rocket is coming in at Herzog Ox. Herzog 8.
Ooh, wow.
Just because,
man,
you know, I think this is a game, you know, it's simple, and it just holds up for that reason. I don't know, there's not like a ton to it, but, you know, it's got a lot of potential. It's a lot of fun. Like, I found myself, I played it for like 9 hours.
I don't understand potential being part of it.
It
is or it isn't. Like, it's already made.
Like, I feel like this is a good multiplayer game.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I couldn't evaluate it multiplayer. The dog, he did not care for this game. Like,
we're gonna get a Bork rating.
It clocked in at about 0.5 Borks because he didn't Bork, but he was. I was in the video game room with the door closed playing this one, and he was outside of it. And he heard the noise. He was doing a growl. He was, what's going on in there?
Wow, half a Bork.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like a growl is a half Bork. So
I would say so.
Yeah, but so I couldn't test out the multiplayer mode because he wasn't cooperating. But I feel like that bumps it up a point. Like. That this has the potential of being a really fun game. So that's my story. Todd?
Sure.
You have a rating system.
I do.
I feel like you do.
I will jump right in here. Nostalgia. I'll jump right in. Nostalgia.
Crap. Wait, don't say anything.
How's your day, Todd?
Hang on.
Okay. Yep. You can talk now.
My name is
Jaguar.
I am the voice of truth. If you insist on getting in the way, let's see who's better. Let's dance.
All right, Nostalgia. Pretty good nostalgia for this one, because this is another one where I did play it on its initial release and did play it on my own Dreamcast. So I am familiar with it. I do love those animations. I loved that commercial in the Snifferoo last week. I actually listened to that commercial more than playing this game over the course of the years, because it's a catchy little song this guy's singing. So, you know, pretty good nostalgia for the game itself and the choo-choos. I like the word choo-choo rocket. That is a sweet
big
title.
Yep.
Replayability. This is pretty good replayability, I would say. If you have it's a party game, like we've been saying over and over, party game. You got two to four bros with you. You ready to bro down and play some bro games? Pop this bad boy in, and you'll have a good old time. So replayability is pretty good if you have bros. Okay, so calculating those two primary factors in, I would put Choo Choo Rocket in with a point. Get ready for it. A point. 5-0 DuckTales.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Cool. You are circling him.
So, just like the other one, I was 0.02 under. Mm-hmm. I was 0.02 under on the first one. Sorry, over. And now I'm 0.02 under. I went 0.48. So, I'm dancing around it. Mm. Dancing back and forth. I'm up and down.
And as we know, a 0.5 is better than half.
Yeah, above average, exactly.
Mm-hmm. It is above average.
On the DuckTales scale.
Oof.
Wow.
Man, I only had one more thing to share, which is that someone did a mock-up as if this was a Sega Master System game, and I gotta say, I like that art.
Ooh.
Like, yeah.
That is sweet. This is a game where the graphics don't really matter. You could port this to like any 2D, 3D, whatever kind of system.
I think the processing power matters because of the insane speed of the choo-choos.
The number of choos does impact it, yes.
And the speed of the choos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently you can tell this was meant as a tech demo just because of how simple everything is. But apparently their goal, which I believe they hit, was to have 100 things moving on the screen at a single time.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, which...
definitely happened.
Yeah, which is probably also why this game can feel, like, so overwhelming at times.
Right.
But, cool. Was there anything else you wanted to add about this one?
Not this one, no. Pretty fun.
All right. What say you, Todd?
I think we covered it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move right along then to the email portion of the show. All right, Todd, did you get any mails this week?
Mm. You know, hey, boys and listeners, we're going so long on
this. I'm guessing Steve does not read the chat during the episode.
Mm. Or read the messages from the production booth.
Yes.
We're
getting a red light.
We're going so long on this.
Waving behind the glass.
On this double ender here that we're trying to get so much Sega's The Dream Timber in.
We are cramming.
This week. We're passing that hour mark.
Overflowing.
I'm sorry. I did not see the producer waving behind the glass, but I see him now. So why don't we just move to the goodbyes then?
Sure.
we will not help anyone this week either.
No, we will not.
No one gets help.
No.
Go screw.
You wanted to say this week.
All I gotta ask is, when are we gonna get Ooh La La and Smash? When's that happen?
Oh wow! Great point. She'd be great in Smash.
And they already got Sonic in there. The Sega thing doesn't matter. Get her in.
Yeah, she does like full kicks later in the game.
Yeah,
like
plenty of moves.
Style kicks.
Platform kicks. She got a blaster. She's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, great ass. Todd, how about you?
Yeah, something's up, guys. I'm feeling kind of funky.
Oh, yeah.
Well, on that note, Todd, can you play us a little snifferoo from next week's game?
My name is Ryo Hazuki. My father was killed by the warlord Lan Di. During my quest for vengeance, I've traveled far and wide and consorted with numerous unsavory characters. But enough about me. Let's talk about you, Nozomi.
Brian?
Who's Nozomi?
Shenmue on Dreamcast, rated T for teen.
All right, I got to pose that because did we record the voice acting for this game? What is going on with that?
I don't know what happened. That was a commercial, right?
Yeah, that's a commercial. It's like the European commercial or something?
I guess so.
It said it was the North American one. So, I mean, some of these commercials I find, it says that it's a commercial, and I never remember actually seeing it on TV. So,